Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
James, Ed, dinner's ready. Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast.
Hello, Mum.
Oh, that's awkward because I'm playing Mum, but I'm also Ed.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. That's like Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Eddie Murphy would do that.
That's true.
That is your surname.
Yes, Murphy.
Yes.
I've had to change it, unfortunately, because there's already another Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
I've gone with Ed Gamble.
But your original name was Eddie Murphy.
Yes. Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast. I'm Eddie Murphy. Ed Gamble, sorry. I'm always doing that. And over there is James Acaster.
Hello.
Hello.
Good to see you, Ed.
Lovely to see you, James. Would you like to take us through what the podcast's about?
Oh, with pleasure. We have a guest on every single week. We ask them what their best ever starter, main course, dessert, side and drink are, not in that order, and it makes their dream meal.
You wouldn't believe that this was episode 24 and James still hasn't quite worked out how to say what the podcast is about.
Very difficult to tell people. I don't like talking about myself.
It's not about you.
Yeah.
So... Episode 4 of Series 2, just like to take this opportunity to say thank you so much for all the great feedback. We're recording this in advance of the second series being released, so we're just assuming there's been some great feedback.
Yep, probably will be some great feedback, right? And if there's not, you just say it anyway and people believe it. Trump.
Thank you very much for all your wonderful feedback. And no, you can't have your food back because we've eaten it all.
Yes, the feedback to the podcast should be called food back.
Yes, there we go. Happy with that?
I'm very happy with that.
So, who's our guest this week, James?
Sean Clifford.
Sean Clifford, apparently.
Sorry, well, I was talking to Benito about this before the podcast, is when I was younger, there was Muppets Tonight was on TV. It was a show called Muppets Tonight.
Yeah, old do you think I am?
Yep, and the host was called Clifford, and they would say, please welcome your host, Clifford, like that. And I went to do it, and like that, and then I thought, no, not everyone will know what I'm on about, and then I doubted it, and then I really messed it up.
Sean Clifford is our guest today.
Yep.
Sean is an actor. She's been in loads of wonderful things, including a little show that I've discovered, James, called Fleabag.
Oh, Fleabag.
Yeah, I believe it's on the BBC now. I told the BBC about it, and they've picked it up and put it on the iPlayer. It's called Fleabag.
Fleabag.
She's in that.
Fantastic.
Yes, she's very good, and we're very lucky to have her at the Dream Restaurant today.
Very excited to have her at the Dream Restaurant.
Although, we're not so excited that we have not instituted a secret ingredient that if she says it will kick her out of the goddamn restaurant.
You better believe it, Ed. Does the word dill mean anything to you?
It does. And you know what? I don't mind dill in small little portions.
Sure.
Or a little flavour.
Mm-hmm.
But don't dump a bush on top of my food, mate.
Don't dump a bush on top of my food, mate.
Also, it's not... All the other herbs are the texture of leaves, right?
Yes.
Dill is like hair.
Ah.
It's like a wig. It's like someone's put a green wig.
It's a big old toupee.
Yeah.
So no dill. If dill is a major ingredient in any of these dishes, that's it.
So if Sean says dill, she will be out of the restaurant.
Absolutely.
Hope she doesn't, because I'm looking forward to hearing the dream mail of Sian Clifford. Hear the podcast. Let's talk about food, shall we?
Yes, please.
Welcome to the dream restaurant, Sian.
Oh my God, it's not what I expected.
Welcome, Sian. Welcome to the restaurant. Good to see you. Been expecting you for some time. For many decades, we knew you would come.
That's part of the dream restaurant, is
from
that
my
we've
past
got.
Life.
Yeah, we've got a bookings app that tells us for decades in advance who's coming.
Everyone was meant to be here who comes here. It's their destiny.
Yeah, and you decorate it exactly how they want it.
Yeah, is this what you imagined?
Yes, yeah, perfect.
Take us through what's in the restaurant today.
Loads of natural light.
Yeah. A lot of natural light. I harvested that myself.
The sun is shining, there's a cool breeze blowing.
Yeah, Bob Marley.
Yeah.
Is that Bob Marley? The sun is shining.
Oh, did I unintentionally quote him?
I think you did. Well, Bob Marley coined the phrase the sun is shining.
And there's Bob Marley in the corner, of course, playing live in the dream restaurant today. Yep.
In terms of like restaurants you've been in real life.
Oh yeah.
I mean, this is real life, but like this is also a dream. But until now,
just in case you'd forgotten, this is also real life, Sian.
Okay.
Yeah, it's real life, but also,
what's real,
also a dream.
What is real? Good point.
Good point. Sian's been smuggling some doobies before coming in.
Perfect. That's a perfect way to start a lovely meal, I think.
If you're going
to
meet a genie, you want to get baked beforehand.
Yeah. Smoke a fat one before the bread.
Yeah.
Or
But has there ever been a restaurant you've walked into and just the way it looks, the decor, everything is like, you're like, oh, this is the best one. The best one so far. I love it. Maybe it's the wallpaper. Maybe it's the music. Maybe it's the natural light.
I'm going to say the first thing that popped in my head, which was a place called Shutters in LA. Have you been there?
No.
It's called Shutters on the Beach. It's a hotel, which I've never had the opportunity to stay in. It's a very expensive hotel, but it's... that restaurant that's very beautiful. Can't remember the food though.
Paint a picture of what it looks like.
It's like a beach house. So it's on Santa Monica Beach, and yeah, it's like one of those New England, little houses. So it feels quite cozy, but it's, yeah, the window's wide open and it's...
Natural light.
Natural light,
it's all
guys.
About natural light.
Sian loves natural light. Have you ever tried a picnic, Sian?
Natural light 360.
Yeah, yeah. You won't believe it.
So much sun. Picnics. I find picnics a bit annoying.
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Now.
Correct. Go on, Sian.
We've not talked about picnics on the podcast yet.
But I've got a few bones to pick with picnics.
Okay.
I've got a few bones to pick.
There's nothing substantial to eat. So you.
That's down to you. I'm going to say that now.
Okay.
The picnic is very
much. You bring it.
This ties in perfectly with something I saw this week. I was out for a walk in Richmond and some people were having a picnic. This is how posh Richmond is. It was a catered picnic.
No.
In a public area, they had like a chef and a trestle table laid out with like stuff the chef had brought. Okay, you know what catered means. It was. And the chef had brought the stuff. It's a catered picnic.
That's awful.
Okay, so, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. In that case, the food thing would not be an issue. I have a problem with sitting on the floor.
Okay.
My body's not made for that.
Yeah.
I'm standing or chair.
Stiff hips. Yes.
Yeah, stiff hips, exactly.
I don't like having, laying down and having your elbows propping you up.
Yeah, you can never find the right position.
That position's horrible, isn't it? elbows behind you.
Or the other way, where your back is like,
so you're laying on your front.
Laying on the front.
Doing like the downward dog? Is that no? No, it's not downward dog.
No, that's
what is it?
Like what's the cobra. Upward?
What yoga position is best for a picnic?
I only know the Sanskrit words.
You know the Sanskrit.
Benita's doing it.
It's Supta Baddhakonasana.
Benita's just suggested that people tweet us in what yoga position is best for a picnic.
Yeah.
Hashtag yoga picnic.
Yeah.
Also, do hashtag got a bone to picnic.
Got a bone to picnic.
Because I can't believe we let Ed get away with that.
Yeah, but that was a good pun. Got a bone to picnic when you said it.
Sian was being very polite as a guest there, but she...
I don't really like puns, but I thought that was quite a good one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
thanks, Daddy Gamble, old man Gamble over there.
Old man Gamble, that's me. But when you said it, it sounded like got a bone to picnic.
Got a bone to picnic, yeah, because I'm the bad boy of the podcast. and everyone knows that.
That would make the picnic even more uncomfortable, to be honest.
It would, actually.
Yeah.
It makes any situation uncomfortable.
But basically, what about cross-legged? Sitting cross-legged?
They'd still be able to see it.
Oh, were you talking about picnics or boners in that situation?
Huh? I thought we were talking about... Huh? No.
You definitely couldn't do Cobra.
No, I could not do the Cobra.
Tell you that much.
It'd be like one of those robots on Robot Wars is flipped over and then they might self-right themselves.
Or it'll prop you up.
Yeah. like a kickstand.
Can I just say, I think we've really focused in on exactly what my humour is there.
Yeah, yeah. Robot Wars.
The Robot Bonus. Wars boner flipping over onto the back is exactly my humour. Well done. Well done, everyone.
I agree about the no good food at the picnic, though, because I've never... Because people like us who don't want to go on picnics are never the people who pack them. Mm. That's the thing. That's the catch, isn't it? Because, like, I thought it was a bit unfair when you said it was Sian's fault, because if you don't like a picnic, you're not packing the picnic.
Yeah.
So you're made to go on the picnic, and the people who do pack it, they don't care because they think it's nice enough that you're just going for a picnic.
Sure. Yeah. But if you don't like picnics and you get invited to a picnic, why not try and make the picnic better by taking along something that you might enjoy? What would be your dream picnic food?
So I'm vegetarian and aspiring vegan is what I'll say. So I always take strawberries, which I think is a...
That's good.
That's good. That's safe.
You cutting them with anything? You putting some cream or some sugar on them?
No cream because I don't do dairy. But also stuff like that is going to... It's going to curdle in the sun. Like stuff spoils so quickly and everyone's got those little packets from M&S and it's just like warm artichokes.
Sweaty.
It's just... Yeah, there's something about it that's, I don't know, unless you have it catered or, you know, you bring your cool box.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cool box.
And you're one of those people.
Yeah, exactly.
You own a cool box.
No, not doing
that. Imagine going and buying a cool box.
That seems like the sort of thing I'd do if I was invited to a picnic. I'd buy a cool box and then I'd be at home with the cool box and go, I just think I'm just going to throw that cool box away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm part of the problem.
If I bought a cool box and I had it at home, I would want to put... Like my head in it and something, just see how cool it is.
That's how you're going to die, isn't it?
Probably.
But you need to put ice in it to cool it. Mm. It then keeps the cool in, right?
Oh, it's not just cool.
It's not just by cool. Itself. It's not a fridge.
It's not like a fridge.
It's not a self-sustaining wireless fridge.
I can put any. But then it's the ice keeping it cool. So what's the point of the cool box? You just have any box and put some ice in it.
Yeah, but then the ice is going to melt and it's not going to be cool anymore. Whereas the cool box. It's like an insulating thing. It, yeah.
Like a thermos?
Yeah, like a thermos.
Like
a big thermos. A giant thermos.
Mm, okay, well, I don't believe the hype then, because I wouldn't want to put my hand in a thermos.
Finally, someone's destroyed cool boxes.
Yeah. Can we start you with some still or sparkling water, Sian?
Still, please. Loads of lemon, no ice.
I like that.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Now, why no ice?
Okay, this ice thing... has to stop. That is 100% adopted from American culture.
Yeah.
We never used to have ice, or like you'd ask for it. It would be an extra. Now it's like every water cooler you go to, it is like drinking Antarctica.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Interesting.
Just when the cool box thought it wasn't going to get any more, it wasn't getting any more digs. We're going back into it and kicking its lifeless corpse around the room.
I'd say the ice problem is much more prevalent in America still, though. The crushed ice, the loads of ice when they bring you like water. I like in America they just pour water as a, you don't have to ask for it. Mm-hmm. But there's always so much
bottomless,
ice.
Bottomless glass water.
Go for it. But the crushed ice is you have to drink around it. I hate it.
Yeah, it's overwhelming the drink.
I wouldn't say overwhelming.
Overwhelming.
Does it panic you when you see too much ice?
No, and actually I like to crush ice, but that's like a separate thing.
Mm. What? What do you mean?
I like to crunch ice.
So you like to crunch it on its own. You have to eat it on its own. You
don't
want it
in a
drinks.
Drink.
You want it on its own.
Yes.
Bowl of ice.
Can I have some ice on the side, please? And I'd like to crunch it.
A little clue to your starter, maybe.
Yeah.
A little bowl of ice.
Delicious.
A little bowl of ice cubes.
Delicious little bowl of ice. No, I'm like trying to cut it down because it does as well. Like we live in a cold country, and I'm like one of those people. I know I was there was a period in my life where I was very, very unwell. and it affected what I could eat for, like, honestly, years. So, and so I've read so much about nutrition and I know too much about food.
Okay.
In a really irritating way.
Right, okay.
Like, I know, and it, I've sort of gone beyond it now.
Did you used to, like, mention it a lot?
No, it's just more that you get obsessive about, like, good and bad rather than being, like, now I'm into intuitive eating where it's, like, just eat what your body wants.
Mm-hmm.
Just eat it. Eat what you're craving. It's, you know.
I had a similar, well, probably not a similar thing, but because I'm type 1 diabetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how did
Special
I get it changed?
Skill?
Ed fell in the Thames.
When I was really trying to get on top of that stuff, it's that you really need to know about carbohydrate content so you can inject the right amount of insulin for food. So I used to get obsessed with the grams of carbohydrates and things.
Yeah.
Reading packets, learning about it, trying to work out if you went out for a meal, what grams of carbohydrates were in it. For like a year and a half, and it just gets too much. And now, I think that's a superpower. Now I can just look at something and tell you.
And you know.
And I know.
Grams.
Yeah. And also, it's just about then just relaxing.
That's like me in Pokemon.
James has just started playing Pokemon Go.
2019?
He is 2 years behind the craze.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about starting it recently. I'm not going to lie.
You should start it.
Well, it's just
James on there now.
Yeah. That's the best thing about
it. He's winning everything. You're top of the table.
The crowds are clear.
There's so many Pokemon out there.
You clean up after everything.
You're not going to walk off a cliff.
Exactly. I won't walk off a cliff. I won't get hit by any cars. I'm just going around getting all the Pokemon that everyone's forgotten about.
Oh my God. Fantastic.
It's a bountiful world out there now if you want to get Pokemon.
This is a top tip.
It's a top. Well, actually, I don't want to tell everyone about it because then everyone will do it and then I won't be on my own anymore.
I don't know how we ended up getting to this. Pretty sure I was just talking about diabetes
stats.
And then in your head you went, I'm bored of this, I want to talk about Pokemon.
Well, you guys were saying about, you know, all about carbohydrate stats and all that kind of stuff, and I know all about Pokemon stats and how...
Give us a good stat.
If you want to upgrade the Graveler, you need 100 candies. For example.
Good to know.
Back to food. Brought it back to food.
Lemon. How much lemon are you putting in the water?
Loads of lemon.
One whole lemon?
And I want it like squeezed so it's like in the water.
Yes.
It's a real tangy little...
When people just put
a
lemon wedge or a lime wedge in something and don't squeeze it.
Mm.
Yeah, you're not getting...
No.
You're so just a waste.
Gin and tonic. If I have a gin and tonic in a pub and there's a lime wedge in it. Yeah. Lovely, like a bit of lime. But I will have to pick the lime wedge out.
Yep, same.
And give it a squeeze.
You got to get it.
You ask them to squeeze the lemon.
No, I'll leave it to chance, which is a mistake.
Yeah, that seems a step too far in terms of ordering something, I think. No ice and squeeze the lemon.
Yeah, I mean, that lemon that's in, you can probably hear that, listener.
That hasn't been squeezed.
But, like, it's not been squeezed, has it? Sean's literally got a jug of water there with some lemon, two wedges of lemon in it.
But you know what it's got now? It's got bits of lemon floating in it, and at first you're not sure what they are.
What did you think they were?
As in, no, like, you know, like little bits of the lemon have come off.
Yeah.
So you go, oh, what's that? And then you go,
oh
it's just bits of lemon.
What do you worry that it might be?
It's not.
Yes.
That's your first thought.
That's what it looks like.
little off-menu prank that we like to do. Like,
yep. Welcome to the show.
Some snot water.
Your snotty water.
I was thinking bits of people's lips, like someone with flaky lip person's already had a sip out of it.
I don't want to drink that now.
Oh, like Martin Clunes. I bet he has flaky lips.
I reckon he salves them.
Oh,
don't you think?
I don't know.
He knows he's got lovely big lips, right? He must pop a bit of lip salve on.
I've worked with him.
Oh yeah.
He played my father-in-law.
What were his lips like? Flaky?
I think they were sumptuous and
They were fine.
Delicious.
From what I remember.
I don't know.
Myself and Clunes have both got big old whackers on us.
What?
I got big lips.
Have you? I never really noticed
it. Clunes level, sure.
No.
But pretty big lips. I got a small nose as well.
Proportion.
So I think in
small nose, big
comparison.
Lips.
Small nose, big lips. That was my nickname.
Yeah.
The dream.
Yeah.
Ever had any nicknames, Sean?
I've got some, yeah, like from school, Shannon. For the people who couldn't say Sean.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Fair enough.
They're sort of halfway there when they say Shannon, though, aren't they?
I know.
It's only a small change.
I don't know.
Change.
That's the one that stuck. Shannon, Sharnage. That's another.
Pop-lums or bread? Pop-lums or bread, Sean? Pop-lums or bread?
You're a genie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you like loopholes.
Yes.
Have you heard of...
This is exciting. Someone's
about to... I think something else falls into that category.
Sean's typing up a cheat code here and I'm getting quite excited about it.
Dosers and hoppers. What do you know about those things?
Yeah, well, yes, I like both of those things.
You think they fall into that category?
I've never really had them much. You took me to a restaurant once, James. You took me to Hoppers.
Have you been to Hoppers?
Yeah,
Hoppers. It's amazing, isn't it?
I took Hoppers for my birthday once.
Yeah, I did.
We had a lovely time.
To go to Hoppers for his birthday.
Yes.
That's a nice treat.
It was really a nice treat. And then we had ice cream afterwards.
Yeah. I probably. Well, what do you think? What's the actual dish here? Because if it was like from Hoppers,
it's got
then
stuff
that's
on
like
though, right?
A big that feels like a main. But if you're just having like something on its own, then it might. I think it will probably qualify. Let's hear it, Sean.
Because originally I was going to say both.
Hobbledons and bread. Yeah.
There's a key word
I'm
in the question.
Trying to find a way to get every dish ever into the meal. Well, you can get a hopper with an egg in it.
Yes, the best.
It's the one thing keeping me from being a vegan is the egg.
The hopper with the egg. Or the egg in general.
Or the egg in general.
Just the egg in general.
Yeah,
the runny yolk of an egg is my biggest nemesis right now.
Guess what old man recently got into boiled eggs?
As a 33-year-old man, I'd never really eaten boiled eggs before, but now I have 1 to 2 boiled eggs every morning.
Oh my God, delicious.
I love it. Soft boiled eggs.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and scoop out a bit of them and then pour hot sauce into the egg, into the shell.
Not done that before.
Mix it all around. Oh,
dirty old man.
I get...
I'm not a dirty old man.
Dirty. I didn't like what I just...
Why am I a dirty old man for having a soft-boiled egg?
I didn't like what I just heard with the making a little hole and pouring the hot sauce into the egg. I didn't like that. What? Sean didn't like it either.
I put paprika in there, a little pinch of paprika.
Oh, okay.
And some salt.
That nice. Sounds nicer.
What's wrong with a bit of hot sauce?
It's a bit scummy, isn't it? Putting your hot sauce in your boiled egg. Keep it down. But paprika and salt's dignified.
Right. I will salt admit
it. Flavour.
Do you peel all the shell off the egg first and then salt it? How are you doing it?
I'm tapping.
Uh-huh.
Peel off the top bit.
Yeah.
Then a little sprinkle of my seasoning.
Uh-huh.
And that goes on the little white... on the little cap that you've taken off too.
The little head, yeah.
And then the soldiers go in.
Oh, now here's where we differ.
Oh.
I'm not having any soldiers.
What?
Egg's very anti-war. little hippie.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about different meals.
I am a conscientious objector.
Yes.
So you just eat it like a soup?
Like a little savoury yogurt. Like a little petit filet.
Like a petit filet.
Yeah, petit filet. That's the word I was looking for. I eat it like a little petit filet. Is that controversial?
That is very controversial to me.
For Sean's face, do you think she's taking this lightly? She's absolutely horrified by what you just said.
She's disgusted, honestly. Yeah, I'm just eating it just straight protein. On with my day.
Convert him, Sean.
We've got to get the soldiers in there. They're so warming. And I tell you what, egg and soldiers was a contender for my starter.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That is a...
That would have been a big swing for a starter.
Yeah.
Essentially breakfast.
breakfast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still on there. Honourable mention.
Now, key question, James. Are we letting Sean have hoppers?
I'm sorry, Sean. Our producer, the great Benito, doesn't know what a hopper is, and he would like you to explain it.
So, I'm going to say it's like almost like a basket, right? It's like a pancake... and bread, sort of in one, and it's like a little bowl, and it's really, really thin and really, really crispy, and in the middle of it is an egg, a fried egg.
That was a very good description.
Yeah,
actually.
Very good.
You
yeah.
started off by saying it's a bit like a basket, and I thought we're in trouble here. Because I thought, I don't know if people at home are really going to get a good impression of what a food item is when you've just described it like a non-food item, but then... The more that went on, the more I was like, yep, absolutely.
That sums me up.
And the egg is optional, but I have a lot of respect for the eggs in there. It's one of my favourites, that. I love it.
But is it a starter?
I don't want to deny it. Well, it's a Poppadoms or bread.
Yeah, but it should be, it's a starter, isn't it? It's not a Poppadoms or bread show. Unless we let people have Poppadoms and we let people put things on the Poppadoms, don't we?
Yeah. Yes, Ed.
Yes, we do.
So is it just like a different... option for the Poppadoms, and then like the egg is like what a chutney would be on a Poppadom.
Yeah.
It's up to you, Jeannie.
Oh, it's difficult, isn't it? I think that you've made such a good argument for it, and I also love Hoppers so much. I proper love the egg one that I will let you.
Yeah,
I will let you have it because, like, I know you're passionate about it.
And we let Desiree have nachos, didn't we?
We did, although that's more of a traditional pre-meal.
Yeah,
they actually do get bought out pre-meal.
Nachos. I'm happy with
and
the
they are covered in other food.
Yeah, they are
smothered in it.
They're just a vehicle for other food, really, aren't they?
Oh, ask Joel Dommett; he'll tell you. Surprise nachos! Never know how big they're going to be. Absolute moron.
So I think Hoppers with an egg.
Yeah, okay. And do you know what? We're making that call. All three of us might be lambs of the slaughter on Twitter. We might have a lot of listeners taking us on that.
We might have to mute our Twitters for a bit.
We come to your starter now.
Okay.
So we know that it's not boiled eggs.
It's not going to be boiled eggs and soldiers. So I'm going to get, I have like a list because there were so many. And also I feel like a lot of starters and sides can be interchangeable.
Okay.
Yeah, you know I agree I mean? With that. Like I know what you mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They often come up. So there are like, in terms of like vegan restaurants that are popping up, there are loads of like, I love junk food. And there are loads of like, you can get now jackfruit wings or you can get these. I'm convinced, by the way, I'm going to say the secret ingredient today.
Yeah, you reckon you are?
I'm really worried.
Yeah.
Because I usually agree with all of yours. All of your things, and the things that I do like, you've already said. If I say anything that you've already said in the past, secret
that's
ingredient
fine.
Is fine.
No, yeah, fine. That's fine. Don't worry about
that. Absolutely fine.
So one of the like best meals I've ever had was when my sister and I took our mum away to this hotel spa place. I have no idea where it was or what it was called, and it was a long time ago. So. Their chef has probably changed. I don't know. But we had...
Well done to not say died there.
Yeah.
I thought that's where you're going. I thought their chef has probably died.
I had the most delicious... It's so basic. It was a leek and potato soup. But it was the most buttery, creamy, delicious thing I've ever eaten. And I don't know how they made it. And it's... I've tried to recreate it and I can't. And so that is like a really like strong food memory for me.
Yes.
As something that I love as a starter and I cook it all the time because I love it, love it, love it.
Oh, so you still like leek and potato soup in general?
Yeah.
You love the dish itself. It wasn't just that one caught you off guard and was the best one. I mean, it is the best one, but leek and potato soup is the kind of thing where I'd think like, I wouldn't be bothered about it.
Take it or leave it.
Straight away, my observation, as soon as you said leek and potato soup, I was watching James's face, and I think you've got some convincing to do here.
Okay, yeah, he's a bit livid.
Well,
this is a maybe.
This particular one, when you said buttery, I was like, I see what's happening here, because, you know, there's so many
you
things.
You see what's happening here?
Yeah, I see what's happening here, because like we've all ordered something, we thought, oh, that sounds a bit boring, but I'll have it anyway. Yeah. And then actually, the chef surprises you by making it...
Well, they do something to the vegetable that where... The flavour is so enhanced, it's like a new sensation.
Yes.
Look, I like a leek and potato soup, but I think it's a lot of the heavy lifting is butter and salt and pepper.
Yeah, all right.
Is what I think, but I think if you've had an amazing leek and potato soup...
It would have to be that one.
Yes.
So like that, but that... So and that
Sean,
was like
can I just say as well, we're not giving you an easy ride because we know you've heard the podcast before. So this is probably the most we deconstructed a guest menu straight off the bat.
Well, another thing that was like a very close contender, which I think you will go for, is do you know Padella?
Aware of it, not been to it.
That's Skinner's partner.
I beg your pardon?
Padella and Skinner at the Lightning Seats.
Are you all right today, James?
I thought we're doing puns there. I'm trying to get on the pun train.
Sean doesn't like puns.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Sean. I don't know Padella, though.
Padella is this... It just sells pasta.
It's like a basket. It's like a basket. It's like a big basket.
It's like a big basket.
Big old basket.
People
big old
sit basket. In it and eat food.
No, it's... You must have heard. You've heard about it, right?
Yeah. And big queues, right?
Huge queues, no reservations, just like Hoppers, this other restaurant. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a restaurant in London is generally good if they don't take reservations and they make you queue for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And this one is always, even if you go on a Monday at lunchtime, you will still have to queue for 2 hours to get in.
Wow.
And it's, they have a really, really small menu. There's hardly any, they have like, I don't know, 8 dishes on the menu. It's all just beautiful, freshly made pasta. And there's this gnocchi that they do with nutmeg butter that is unbelievably good. And I know you would both lose your minds if you ate it.
Yeah, I think I would lose my mind.
It is. It
sounds great.
That sounds amazing.
Delicious.
Also,
and you
no
can
one's
watch
chosen
them.
Gnocchi yet, and I love it.
You love gnocchi, don't you?
I love it.
Yeah. And yeah. When it's like freshly made, it literally just melts. It's so delicious.
Gnocchi. Are we saying gnocchi?
Gnocchi.
Are you saying that? It's not like that. Every time I eat it, it reminds me of Dennis Menace's dog.
Nasha.
Yeah, Nyasha.
Yeah. Ganasha.
Ganasha. Ganasha. I used to say ganasha.
You used to say it. Chocolate ganache.
Chocolate ganache.
Oh. We're the fun
bunch.
That's
how we say it.
We are the fun bunch.
Is it just nutmeg butter on this? Or is it, oh, do you have other things?
No, that is it. It's so plain. You can get it with Parmesan, but I do not have Parmesan on it because it's not vegetarian.
Oh, just in general, I'm glad that you don't. Disgusting.
You don't like it?
No.
What?
Revelation.
You know that about me.
You don't like Parmesan?
Not the powdered or grated stuff.
No, but like...
This is fresh, from a
big wheel. But it's not vegetarian.
Yeah, they do have... No, most Parmesan is made with animal suet, is it called? It's not vegetarian.
I have no idea.
So you don't have the Parmesan, you just go straight
in. Just go straight in, and it's so pure and beautiful and delicious. And
I've not had gnocchi in ages.
Mm.
Yeah. I have to have some gnocchi. Just by the reaction that's got,
we've got to
take
one.
The gnocchi with nutmeg butter over leek and potato soup.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, that's sounds fine. Great. I'm fine with that.
Okay, that sounds good. Delicious.
We're back on solid ground, I think.
Okay, good.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it. And then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Now we come to your main course, and so help me God, if it's a main serving of leek and potato soup.
I found the loophole.
Another loophole, yeah, yeah.
No, my main, again, a bit of a tussle. Love junk food, love like burgers and things, and there are so many amazing like vegan versions of that now. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's a new place that's just opened in Southeast London that I ate at last night that, I mean, it was unbelievably good. Because I think I don't think I miss Full Nelson, it's called. You know what? I don't miss the flavour of meat at all, but I miss the texture.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they've done it.
Wow.
And I have to say, like, your taste buds change when you become vegetarian, because I was such a carnivore and I've only been vegetarian for 3 years now. But I've actually sent something back. I've sent a breakfast back because I was convinced that the sausage was meat.
Right.
And then someone who wasn't vegetarian ate it and was like, that is definitely not meat.
Right.
But I don't know, I've forgotten what it tastes like. So I love like junk foody stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about like a roast dinner, stuff like that. But actually the best meal I've ever had was in Thailand. And I was traveling there when I was 19. And I just got there with two of my friends and we met up with two other friends of ours who'd already been in the country for a little while. So they knew the road. They'd organized for us to go on this trek.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am not a fan of peril.
Right.
I hate anything.
Yes. That's like
going to put my life in danger.
Yeah.
And this trek was one of those.
You're the person, well, you know, when they put on a film thing saying contains mild peril, you're the person they're warning.
Oh, that's my
it.
God.
Just you.
Yeah.
Oh, I can watch it. Other people can do it. Mm. You're never, ever, ever, it doesn't matter how much you paid me, you're going to get me to jump out of a plane. Ever.
No matter how much I paid you.
No matter how much I could raise for
million
charity.
Pounds.
No.
Million pounds to stop people dying.
No.
Put an end to death. £2 million.
Put an end to death?
Yep.
You think it would take £1 million to put an end to death?
Just done this as a hypothetical.
Oh, here we go. Plugging your show again.
10 p.m. on Dave. Wednesday nights. Josh wouldn't have, like, questioned the logic of my hypothetical question.
You're like, oh. £1 million? Mm-hmm. Put an end to death?
Yep.
What's that?
Is that what he sounds like?
Yeah, he sounds like Zippy.
No, it's more like near-death experiences.
Yeah, that's what you don't like.
And I did nearly die on this trek.
Right.
Where I, like, fell down the side of this.
What?
It wasn't a mountain, but it was, like, a really sheer drop. And my friend caught me by my rucksack.
Fuck off.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God. Wait, were you just looking down at it?
No, it wasn't like that. It was just, like, my footing went.
Yeah.
Because we were on, like, a really narrow bit of track, and he caught me.
How did he catch you and not fall with you?
Because someone caught his rucksack.
Was it a long chain?
It's like the human centipede in a way.
No.
No, we don't bring that up. No. On a food podcast.
Yeah, good point. That is the worst. That is the worst film to bring up on a food podcast.
Awful. Apologies, Sean. That hasn't happened during your episode. But Ed has brought
now
up the human
centipede.
Yeah,
that is perilous. Yeah, that is perilous.
No, I mean, I'd expected that on Nisha's episode or something like that, but not Sean's.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone.
How rude.
I thought you were going to say you fell down and landed in a restaurant and
straight in a seat and then dished
you up this amazing meal.
No, my friend caught me and it was all very like, I don't know, fraught and panicky. And I already didn't trust my feet before that happened. And then that happened and it was disaster.
Now. I mean, we could gloss over that detail, but tell us about your relationship with your feet that you don't trust them.
Like, in terms of, like...
Have they got no rhythm, so you thought they were guilty?
Yeah.
You didn't.
Come on. It's not a pun. I'm allowed that.
All right. No, just in terms, like, to be honest, it's like mountains and trekking. That's what I absolutely hate. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's fear of falling.
Yeah.
And so I don't trust that, you know, when you say something out loud and suddenly you're like, oh my God, that's the root of the problem. I don't trust my feet. And maybe I just need to trust my feet and I'd be fine.
Is it that you think your feet will just walk
off? I always think,
they'll just walk off the cliff.
They're just going to go on their own, go their own way.
Yeah, they'll just do it.
This reminds me of, did you ever see the MC Hammer cartoon where his shoes were their own entity?
No.
Okay, someone needs to back me up on this, otherwise I'm going to sound mad.
Well, no.
There was an MC Hammer cartoon.
I've seen this.
And he had shoes that were like talking shoes, and they used to like walk for him.
What, every episode?
Were they attached to his legs?
When he put them on.
Oh.
Yeah. Benita, okay. Will you Google MC Hammer cartoon?
Yeah, they have eyes at the top and
they've got a mouth.
Yep. At the end of the shoe, it comes up from the sole so it can speak.
Now, unfortunately, because you didn't know about that and we've had to do all of that, all I've got based off this is I was going to say, did your feet feel like the shoes in Hammer Man? But you've not seen it, so...
Not seen it.
No.
But now you've seen them, is that what your feet were like?
No, because that's a bit creepy, isn't it?
It's a bit creepy.
Okay, apologies again.
It's crazy that you're caught you by the backpack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did.
So,
and he's like the oldest friend I have in the whole world as well.
Really?
Wow.
So it was like a...
At that point, he was as well.
No, I've known him since, like, he's a month older than me and we've known each other our whole lives.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So after that story, I'm presuming your main course is going to be the taste of life. The sweet taste of life that day.
Sweet, sweet. Taste of fresh air.
The sweet taste of being alive.
So basically, at the end of that trek, or the end of that day, we got to this this little place where we were setting up to camp. And it was amazing. We were like by this lake and it was the full moon and... They cooked us this meal, which was the first time I'd ever had like a proper Thai curry.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd gone for Thai with my family before that, but I'd always, I don't know, refused to eat full stop. I think that's the end of the sentence. I think it felt too scary for me to try it.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. I'm just going to say, this sounds a hell of a lot like a picnic.
Oh,
shit. And a catered one at that. It's a catered picnic.
In Thailand, while you were traveling.
Yeah.
It sounds like your main course is a catered picnic. But
you know what? It was made by... So when we were walking, we went to visit this village.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a like a courtesy or a welcoming thing, they made us this meal.
Okay.
So it's actually...
It's not a catered picnic. It's not.
But it was outdoors.
It was outdoors. Okay, look, I just want to know where we're going with it.
Never seen it. We did sit at a table, though.
Okay.
Undercover.
Undercover of a building. It was indoors.
It wasn't a building in the sense that we know it.
It was like an awning.
Upturned basket.
Under a big hopper.
Under a giant hopper sky.
I like the idea that Sean just compares everything to a basket.
And I'm sorry for being pernickety at this point, because I do want to hear what the curry was. I want to hear what's in the curry. I did say pernickety. I didn't say picnickety.
Picnickety. I'm pointing at Ed because I think
you were about to. You thought I'd done another pun, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
Even though we all knew what was coming, hearing him picnickety out loud is very funny. It's a very funny thing to
eat. James's humour.
Pernickety about a picnic is picnickety. Yeah. That is funny.
But no, they made us this unbelievably delicious and rich green curry.
Mm.
And it was really, really hot. And I don't generally like super hot stuff, but it was perfect because you could still taste everything. And it was just, it was amazing because I was alive.
Yeah.
And so that might have enhanced why it was like one of the greatest meals I've ever had in my life.
So would you like that as part of the main in the dream restaurant? Would you like us to dangle you off the side of something and then give you the meal?
Mm.
Absolutely not.
Okay, fair enough.
That's yeah. And was there any... Was it a veggie curry?
It was veggie curry because it was baking hot. So for them to have... Well, it would have had to have been a fresh kill for it to have not gone.
Just someone else who'd fallen off.
Yeah.
Someone else who'd not been so lucky.
Anyone like a backpack, by the way?
So it was absolutely... That was just, yeah, delicious
and to this day,
with rice.
If you're in a Thai restaurant and you got the choice green curry, red curry, you always going green curry?
Always going green curry.
Me too.
Yeah.
Interesting, because I would not... I'm not a big Thai boy.
Mm-hmm.
Famously.
It's not a big Thai boy.
No. But I would always go red curry because I think that sounds like the spiciest. I think it goes back to some sort of like annoying, like spicy masculine thing.
Mm.
But green curry probably spicier, right?
I'm not sure. I just think it's tastier. I think the flavour's better.
I do too.
Nathaniel Metcalf, excellent comedian and friend of ours. He used to work at a comic book shop on Berwick Street in London.
Gosh Comics.
Yeah.
Every Friday, there'd be like food stalls outside in the street. There'd always be a guy who did Thai curry.
Yeah.
He'd have a big wok or whatever of green curry, a big old wok of red curry. People just queue up.
Oh, the guy would have that.
Yep.
Nathaniel wouldn't eat a whole wok.
No. The guy would have those. That's all he'd have. He'd have those two things, and once they were run out, he'd go home for the day, that guy. And Nathaniel said... Green curry went so much faster than the red curry every single time.
Yeah.
Every time. Benito seems to think that's not a good story.
Why are you looking like that, Benito?
I'm going to cut that out.
That's a boring story?
Really boring.
The side dish.
The side dish. Again, so...
We've got another loophole coming around the corner.
No, no loopholes. Just like literally... I had about 20 things on this list, so I was like, how do I pin it down?
Is this something you had after you were nearly hit by a bus?
Look at that.
No, but here's the thing.
You can see that list on your phone. My God, it's a novel.
Well, there are things that I love, like... there are things... So I do love a slow roasted fennel, but I'm not going to choose it.
Thank
today.
You. Good.
That would have been the ultimate trolling if you picked a slow roasted fennel.
Maybe I'll do it. Just
I would have been well on board with it.
But I love roasted, like roasted broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Oh my days! Loads of salt, like a little bit crispy, delicious. All of the so I love stuff like that. I love like I don't know, like the greens that they do, the mixed greens they do in Basaba are like really, really delicious. I don't know what, I mean, it's probably just sugar that they put in that sauce, but it's so delicious. But I think the side I'm going to go for, again, sort of bready based, later on in my trip in Thailand.
Yes.
I had food poisoning.
Oh God, what a trip. Did you get food poisoning from the curry?
And when
just immediately sick from it.
Exactly. No, it was actually like, When I think back to it now, it's actually quite terrifying because I was so young and I was just like, I was really, really, really ill. And like I was with, you know, me and my two mates and we had no idea what we were doing. But they went like white water rafting for the day. And I just was like, I can't, like I could literally see my stomach spasming on my skin. It was horrendous. And it lasted for days. I was so ill. And when you're that ill, that it does cross your mind that you're going to die.
Yeah, of course. I'd say with me, it's immediate. As soon as I'm ill, I'm like, well, that's me then.
That's it.
I'm dead. Bye-bye.
It's over.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if you're doing a few skydives, then you wouldn't have to die.
Yeah.
So.
But maybe you'd be dead from the skydive or have broken legs.
Sure.
I catastrophize immediately, I'll be like, I'm going to die. Sometimes if I wake up in the morning and I'm the only one in the flat and then I look out the window and I can't see anyone immediately, I assume there's been a zombie apocalypse. Just for a second, I'll be like, everyone else is dead.
This is it.
Everyone else is dead.
Just me.
Are you happy when you think that's the case?
I'm not.
Do you think
not
freedom?
Happy. Yeah, I think, what am I going to do first?
I think I'll get it's an adventure.
But by the time I've thought through the adventure, I'm like, I'll see it, like someone walking their dog or something.
Yeah.
Be like, oh.
Yeah.
And then you go, there's normal, two of us, normal. And me and that man are going to have to mate.
Yeah. Or I think I'm going to kill that man.
Yeah. You just immediately kill him before checking to see if there was the zombie apocalypse or not.
Kill his dog.
Kill his dog.
for this dog. Use it as a
kill
hand.
His dog, kill so his dog.
No, kill his dog. No. So his dog.
That's not acceptable.
Not acceptable, really. But if there's been a zombie apocalypse, and that's what Ed's under the impression of,
yeah.
And then he needs to, you know, make himself a warm jacket. He's got to kill the dog.
I've got, but if I'm in my flat, I've got a jacket. I don't think I could,
but not
legitimise killing the dog to wear a warm jacket when I've got maybe four jackets.
But it's the apocalypse now, and you've got to look the part. You can't be going around in your normal jacket. You've got to be wearing a dog.
That's true.
The apocalypse.
Yeah.
Disaster.
So it was a bit like that in Thailand.
It was a bit like that.
Yeah.
But I was so ill that I didn't call my mum.
Wow.
Right. Do you know what I mean? Where you're like, I didn't want to worry her.
That's a really good way of levelling that illness out.
Yeah.
It had gone past calling your mum.
Yeah. It was really bad. And I was just like sipping water. I didn't know what else to do. And coconut water, which is actually like the best thing you can have because it's like replaces all your electrolytes and whatever. Actually topped it for hangovers, P.S. but the only thing that I could eat after that that I could keep down were these pancakes. I think they have a special name for them. And they fold them into a little square and they have like... condensed milk, but I think it's made from coconut milk.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, oh my God, it's really sweet
yeah.
and delicious and warming. And it was the only thing I keep down. And it has such a like comforting, safe memory yeah. for me that I think that's going to be my side.
So you're getting a pancake and you're folding yeah. it into a square.
They fill it with the
condensed milk, coconut.
Condensed milk, the right. sweet, sweet, sweet milk.
Yeah.
And then they fold it into a square and they serve it on a paper plate.
And it's a savoury dish, technically.
Yeah.
Do you like pancakes?
I do.
Because that's the second
pancake.
Second pancake.
I know, right?
I mean, and they might
fight their way into
unprecedented. a double pancake.
If we pancakes. End up with triple pancake, this is going to be a legendary episode.
Yeah, well, it's still. I think it's already legendary for having two pancakes, actually.
Oh yeah, double pancakes.
No one's already. They
are one of my favourite things on the planet.
Have you ever missed Pancake Day? I'm not segueing into material.
James has got a lot of material about Pancake Day.
I had pancakes 2 days ago.
Wow.
At home.
For the listener, we're recording this in July. So did we know?
Oh, I think they are a year-round.
Oh, they are, but
delicious.
I just let people know.
So I miss Pancake Day all the time.
Okay,
but every day.
But
is
I forgive
day.
Myself when I just every day is Pancake Day.
What did you have on your pancake 2 days ago?
What I will always have on my pancakes, which is lemon and sugar.
Lemon. You just tradish.
Tradish. Oh my God, it's the greatest flavor.
And we're talking like thin pancakes, yes. traditional, but not Crepe. Thick American ones.
No. Ugh.
Are you not into them?
No.
No way.
What? No.
I would prefer those over the thin pancake
really?
Any day. And ooh, I wouldn't really
over
have,
the crepe.
Over a crepe. I don't like a crepe. Don't really like a sort of thin pancake. If I was in a pancake place and it was
so
a range of pancakes, I'd go with the thick American. Of course.
The best pancake I've had is a little thin crepe at Camden Lock. Camden Locks. I went down there. It's the sweetest. You didn't even need anything on it, really. Well, that's where my suggestion for best crepe would be.
Mm.
Down Camden Lock, it's a little stall.
Yeah.
Go there. And I would take that over a thick old American pancake.
Here's why I don't like eating a crepe. When they give you a crepe on a paper plate, it sometimes feels like you're just eating the paper plate. A crepe's just an edible plate.
Yeah, you probably are. You're fast eating little bastards.
You're into. A crepe is just another basket.
That's true.
Crepe's just another basket.
It's another.
Yeah.
Transporter of food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Vehicle for food.
Okay, so those Thai pancakes with condensed coconut milk.
I think I'm going to chuck that on the side if that's okay.
That does sound delicious. They sound very nice.
Yeah, it does sound nice.
And it's quite a like a cooling thing when you've got a hot curry. Quite nice.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Your drink now, which I'm guessing, pancake mix.
Yeah. No, it's actually the only cold drink that I like.
Oh, well, this is interesting. You don't like any other, because some people I've met who don't like hot drinks. That's quite common. You don't like cold drinks.
You only like one cold drink.
I like one cold drink.
What?
It's got to be milky. Because I don't drink alcohol either.
Okay.
So other than water, I don't really like I have hot chocolate. I drink all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's my drink of choice, I think.
You have the diet of a girl guide.
That's your drink of choice.
I love hot chocolate.
Would you have one every day? Would you have hot chocolate?
If I could.
You can.
I fully respect this. I don't know why I'm making fun of it.
Oh, this is totally. This is up James's
street.
I love it. Yeah.
But basically, my drink that I choose, again, it's kind of. So, do you know horchata?
No.
So this is a Mexican drink.
Mm-hmm.
But I first had it in Spain, and it's made with tiger nuts. So it's a plant-based milk,
mm-hmm.
and tiger nut milk is now very popular and expensive and very easy to make yourself at home. But like, this was the first time I had it, and it is. It's very creamy. I mean, it's like a milkshake.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's really sweet. I mean, it's like melted ice cream in a glass. It is delicious. Or a milkshake, basically.
But what
flavour?
If you had to choose between the two, though. Are you going to choose a milkshake?
Well, I thought about like having like a cereal milk flavoured malted milkshake.
Ooh.
I had a cereal milk milkshake from Milk Bar in New York, and it's one of the best things I've ever tasted.
It's delicious.
Mm. Absolutely incredible. Nice. So it's either that or the horchata.
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, the horchata, I don't know what flavour this horchata is.
It's very sweet. It's got, it's sort of between, it's got a kind of nutty flavour.
Mm.
It's between hazelnuts and almonds, I would say, the flavour.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be as thick as a milkshake.
Right. The thing that's not making it easy for us to help you decide is that when you describe both of them, you describe it like the best things you've ever
exactly
you've ever tasted. So it's hard for us to because like when you describe one, I go, oh yeah, that one. Chance to choose that one, and then you describe the other one, and I'm like, oh, then that one now sounds better. And then you went back to the horchata, and I was like, no, that one sounds good.
My perspective is the horchata sounds more like a drink you could have with a meal.
Mm.
Whereas I think sometimes a milkshake overtakes a meal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can be a pudding.
It's like you're having your pudding at the same time as you're having your main sometimes with a milkshake.
Delicious.
The dream.
Perfect meal.
Yeah, okay. We'll go with that then.
Is the cereal milk malted milkshake, is this a thing you've actually had somewhere?
No, it's my dream. I've made it up.
You've made it up. Is this your own dish?
I know it does exist somewhere in America.
Yeah.
Is it malted?
I don't know if it's malted. What is malted?
So
where they put barley malt in it, and it has that flavour like of Ovaltine or Horlicks.
Oh, I don't think I like that.
Don't like that flavour?
No.
I like it. Yeah.
It feels like it could work with a cereal milk milkshake.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We still need to make the decision, Sean.
Okay. I'm going to go horchata because it reminds me of like an amazing time in my life when I was travelling in Spain.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for.
I think that's a good decision.
I think it's a good decision.
Yeah. Made the right decision there. The other one was an imaginary drink anyway.
Yeah. But you're a genie.
Sure, but you know, you're running the risk there.
When I was a kid.
Something I've never had before, but it sounds nice, and then you might sip it and go, oh no.
Disaster.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have had this for my dream meal.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I went to this like a performance thing for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy on stage, and one of his tricks was to invite four kids up on stage and to give them whatever drink they wanted. but out of the same teapot.
What?
And I outfoxed
them with cereal milk.
I was too scared to go up.
Yeah.
But I've never forgotten. And the genie reminds me a little bit of that guy. And I'm telling you, one of the kids picked carrot juice.
Yeah. Oh my God.
What's wrong with that kid?
Trying to throw the magician off, I guess.
And he had it.
And he did it.
I don't know how they did it, but they did it.
He actually made carrot juice come out of the teapot.
But do you know what? He probably just had, you know those things in pubs with the buttons, with the different...
But then he can't have an infinite thing.
You can't have...
No.
It's like whatever the kid's name is in there.
Oh, God.
If I was a little kid and they got me up to do that trick and he gets me, I'd go, piss.
Yeah. If only you, the listener, could see quite how proud James's little face is right now. Like he's the little kid who's going to send it to the magician.
I would have been really happy.
I mean, he's boxed him.
And they're really happy. And then when he made the carrot juice come out, I'll be like, what's wrong with this guy's piss? This guy's ill.
That neatly brings us on to your dessert.
My dessert. Well, again, I was just going to ask if I could have a trio of desserts. Well, I'm greedy.
I respect that.
Talk us through it.
We'll make our minds up. Pancake.
Three pancakes. No. Churros.
Mm-hmm.
But like breakfast churros. Have you had those in Spain?
No.
So that's like traditionally how they were eaten in Spain is you would have...
Chocolate
sauce.
Hot chocolate. Essentially.
Do you see how I've managed to like wangle everything so in? So those, but I would want them. So my sister studied Spanish and so she like lived in Granada for a year of her study.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to stay with her for a few days and she took me to this little cafe in the square and I tried that for the first time and that was, I mean, I love anything fried, to be honest.
But uh-huh.
Like that was really fluffy, crisp on the outside. I mean, they're basically donuts, aren't they?
Yeah.
But, mm-hmm. So those, and they sprinkled them with cinnamon and sugar and then you dip them in more sugar, chocolatey sauce. So those, delish. Also, apple and rhubarb crumble.
Sometimes trio of desserts.
I know they need
fit
to be
together
like
quite
tiny.
Nicely. You put them in like little shot glasses or something, or they thematically fit together.
Three little cheesecakes or something.
Three little cheesecakes,
and a brownie or something.
You've gone churros to crumble.
I've gone churros to crumble with really cold custard.
I think we're going to have to make you pick one, but take us through all the options.
Let's hear this.
I mean,
cold custard.
Yeah.
You know what? I have a lot of time for that.
Yeah, so do I.
Cool. You need the cooling element with the really hot pudding.
Yes.
I think.
I go ice cream on a crumble.
Delicious. Yeah.
Which is the coldest of custards.
Coldest.
I've always said that.
But don't you always feel like custard is just melted ice cream?
Yeah.
Which I prefer.
Well, there are some ice cream places that are called. So I went to a custard ice cream place.
Frozen custard.
Yeah. In America. I went in Dallas. Had some like custardy ice cream. Very good. So would you like custardy ice cream on there? Or you want cold custard?
No, I want cold custard.
Cold custard.
Cold custard.
That's my favourite option so far out of the two. I'm not a juror.
And what's the crumble?
Apple and rhubarb.
Apple and rhubarb. Is it from anywhere in particular?
My mum's.
Crumble's one of those things. It's got to be your mum's, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like roast potatoes. Who's going, my favourite roast potatoes are someone else other than my mum's?
Sure.
No. I went for a pub lunch the other day. I rarely have a Sunday lunch at a pub.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Horrible.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can always judge it by the potato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That isn't crunchy and crispy and people have been like, oh, it's a really great roast. You'll go for a really great roast there. And it arrives and they are soggy.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't soggy. It was like, but it was hard.
Oh,
but then not
no.
fluffy in the middle. You could honestly... If there'd been a riot, I could have thrown that through a window.
Yeah. If the zombie apocalypse had happened, you could have killed a dog with it.
Looted curries with that potato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's got to be, mum's crumble, always. My mum's crumble.
And then my other one.
Ed's surname's Crumble.
A comedian in New Zealand once told me that they used to think my name was Ed Crumble.
How do you feel about that?
I felt pretty good. I texted James straight away because I knew he'd love it.
I loved it immediately. Yeah. Think about it all the time.
That's my agent's dog's name.
Crumble.
Yeah.
That's nice.
R.I.P. come the apocalypse, that dog.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Poor little Crumble.
Absolutely not.
I'll be wearing Crumble like a jacket.
No.
You will be called Ed Crumble there.
Yeah.
Are you fair to take the names of your victims after the apocalypse?
The third one. I'll pick.
Okay.
Three.
Yeah. Yeah,
sure.
I'm happy
sure.
Is a lemon tart... that my friend, a girl from my year at drama school, Sia Barclay, who must go on MasterChef. She is the most incredible cook. She made this lemon tart, which was so zingy, and I don't know, sour and sweet and lemony and delicious. And the pastry was so short, and it was just it was just like a dinner that she made for friends. It was just, it was unbelievably good. So that.
What did you say to her when you had the tart?
I made a lot of noises.
Did everyone do that? Everyone
lost their mind. It was, oh, it was absolutely delicious.
I do a lot of food noises. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I'd go mad for food noises.
Mm-hmm.
Do one now.
Oh, oh. Like that.
I've heard him do that.
Open there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm eating with my mouth.
Yeah.
Open.
He's not closing his mouth.
I don't give a shit.
It's a horror. It's a horror show, Sean.
He's not polite.
It's an absolute horror show.
Not polite, but I am being polite because I'm saying I enjoy the food.
Yeah.
There you go.
Pick a team.
Do you do it like to the waiter to let them know?
Oh yeah,
I
make the waiter stay while I eat.
Yeah.
And if they try and leave, I hold their hand.
Yeah.
And then I eat, and then I go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty horrible.
Do you do that once you know how much you love the dish, or?
Oh, no, I just, I always make the waiter stay regardless.
Okay. Just hold their hand
gently. Even at McDonald's, yeah.
It's very lonely. If he can't see anyone, he assumes the world's ended. So he needs the waiter to be there for the whole thing.
So you're going to pick one.
What's it going to be?
Was that tart just as it was? It didn't have anything on it? You didn't have any?
Creme fraiche?
I don't remember. I don't think so, no. I think it was just like that.
Mm-hmm.
A little lemony tart. It might have had like a mint leaf.
La di da.
Yeah. For decoration, but also for a little bit of flavour.
To cover its modesty.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's also, I think, when I see one single leaf, I just think of Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
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 Very wholesome boy.
Yeah.
On the back of the meal I've had,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go lemon tart.
Whoa! I was sure the crumble was ahead. No. I was sure it was going to be the crumble, but the lemon tart edged it. To be fair, that lemon tart sounds more like, you know, like you're not necessarily going to happen upon that all the time, are you? This is a specific person made this.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. If you're looking at it in terms of the meal that you've had, you don't want to whack a crumble on the end of that.
You do not.
You need something zinging. You need something to liven up the mouth.
Yeah.
Fresh.
Light.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, let me read your order back to you, Sean. See if you're happy with these. You'd like still water with loads of lemon squeezed and no ice.
Most specific water order we've ever had?
Yeah, absolutely.
I really thought about this, guys.
Problems of bread, you chose hoppers with an egg. your starter is gnocchi with nutmeg butter. Main, you would like Thailand Trek green curry after a near-death experience. Side dish, you would like the coconut milk pancake, also from Thailand, after having severe food poisoning. Your drink is horchata. And dessert, you would like lemon tart made by...
Sia Barclay.
That sounds like a very strong meal. I like that, and I like how sweet it is. I think that's probably been our sweetest one, actually.
Quite sweet.
Yeah, that might be the sweetest one.
You have to go through a lot in the main course to earn all of the dishes.
Yeah.
The near-death experience and food poisoning.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
What was the secret ingredient? Can you tell me now?
Dill.
Oh, wow. I do love dill.
Do you like it?
Didn't mention it. So thrilled.
Thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant.
Oh my God, thank you for having me. What a delicious meal.
Yes. Every time.
What?
Huh? This is a delicious meal every time. If it has a nice sign out.
No? You think it's a nice sign out, do you? A
delicious meal. Another happy customer.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, I should have said that.
Yeah, too late now. Bye-bye. John Clifford's meal.
Yumma yumma.
Yeah, real good meal, I think. Very popular.
Nice and sweet.
Very popular here, I think, was popular with you because it was nice and sweet. The Great Benito enjoyed it very much.
He said it was one of
his
favourites, the Great Benito. He doesn't say that lightly.
No, I liked it too. I wouldn't say it's one of my favourites. I'm less into the sort of sweet, savoury crossover business.
We know.
But she described it very well, and it was a pleasure to have her here in the restaurant.
Thank you, Sean. Now, the big question is, dill or no dill?
Oh, I love it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Brilliant. And it was no dill.
It was no dill.
It was no dill. What a lovely pun that Sian would have hated were she here.
Sian has heard this podcast enough times that she was nervous. She was our first person who was nervous about hitting upon the secret ingredient.
Yes,
she was very worried that she might hit upon that secret ingredient. She was very happy that she didn't.
We want our guests to fear us, but she did not say dill. Well done, Sian. Sian's on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You can check her social medias out. She's at Sian's Universe on Twitter. Yes. And Sian Stillspace on Instagram.
Fantastic. Also, if you haven't watched Fleabag, what are you doing?
What are you doing with your lives, guys?
Watch it. Watch Fleabag, please.
Well, there's a little dweeb in the second series who plays bassoon, and that upset me because I used to be a little dweeb that played the bassoon.
That should have been your role.
He's a little creep.
Would have been a good role for you.
No, I can't act. So, thank you very much for coming in, Sian. James, what are you up to?
I've got a book coming out in August. It's called Perfect Sound Whatever. You can pre-order it online.
I can't wait to read it. I'm in it, aren't I?
You are in it. And I refer to you by your full name every single time.
Thank you very much. So I want to let you know about some stuff that I'm up to. I'm featured in a book called Perfect Sound Whatever by James Acaster. And that's out soon. So check that out. I'm also on tour. Go on to my website, edgamble.co.uk. Just check out what I'm up to, guys. James, what else are you up to? Touring?
Yeah, I'm doing touring and stuff, sure. But, you know, doing this podcast.
Doing this podcast, of course. Check out the check out this podcast.
You've got social media on that as well.
Oh, yeah.
At Off Menu Official on Twitter. We've got a website, www.offmenuboys.com.
I wish it was that. It's offmenupodcast.co.uk.
Oh, okay. And we're on Instagram?
Yeah.
Off Menu Official again? Yeah.
You did really well.
MySpace?
Yeah, we're on MySpace.
Off Menu Yummy?
So thank you very much. We'll be back next week with another guest. Check out Off Menu Yummy on MySpace.
Yep.
For now, we'll see you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.